This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on June 22nd, 2017. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
We'll resume our open meeting for Thursday, June 22nd, 2017, and we'll discuss at this time and consider Draft Advisory Opinion 2017-01, Draft Advisory Opinion 2017-03, and I think we need a motion for additional documents to consider. Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents so the Commission may consider Draft Advisory Opinion 2017-1, Agenda Document Number 17-22-B, Draft B, and Draft Advisory Opinion 2017-3, Agenda Document Number 17-23-B.
Thank you very much. Any comment or questions? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. The ayes have it unanimously. Thank you. We're prepared to discuss the matter, and if Mr. Mason would like to come to the table, please join us, and Ms. Walensky. Welcome again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I have with me Dr. Charles McWilliams, who is the president of the AACU, and he has traveled all the way from Oklahoma City to be with us, and I think I'm going to let him go first.
Great, thanks. Please do that.
Great. Thank you for letting me come into your world. I'm a surgeon, not a lawyer, so if I trip up, feel free to correct me, but I'm a volunteer with the AACU. I've been a member of the AUA for 30-plus years and joined up with the AACU for advocacy about 20 years ago. We've always worked together, the AACU and the AUA. We have enjoyed a great time together over these many years. We assumed the advocacy at the beginning, and then the AUA changed their status, and they began to advocate with us about 20 years ago, and things have changed. So as things have changed, we have become sort of like the little brother of the advocacy layout for urologists. And the State Society Network's a good example, as the recent president of the AUA told me. He said, you all take care of the State Society work. We take care of the federal. We work together. I see it as a team. We've been a team all these years, and we continue to work together. We share leadership on our boards by rotating through. As you know, most of our members are AUA members. We don't have any foreign members in our association. The AUA is a very much an international organization. So as we work together, we strive. We are very much aligned with legislative issues, with policy issues. We have a lot of overlap in our issues. We're not as big, and therefore we don't have as many balls in the air as the AUA does. But we have been working together, and we continue to work together. We sign on the letters together as they request and invite us to sign on. We sign on to a half dozen letters for policy and advocacy this year. Now, things do change, and as it has changed, I think there's been some administrative issues over the recent years where it's been a little difficult or problematic for the two groups to work together. And as this has evolved, we in the AACU have not always done a superb job. We've had people in leadership who've not always worked real well together with other people in the sandbox. And as administrative issues have developed, we see this disaffiliation issue as more of an administrative issue and not really anything different from our 2002 affiliation. And I would hate to see the administrative issues cause us to disaffiliate when we're really one. As the phrase goes, you are we and we are you. And that's been a phrase that we've held right up until most recently. And should the commission allow us to continue to work together under the agreement as outlined in 2002, I'm very optimistic that the AACU and the AUA will have a new day together. My impression is that the coming leadership is very open to our working together and helping us all pull the rope in the same direction. Many workers make labor light, and these are tough times. And the urologists in the field, as evidenced by the section support, by the financial support of the sections, the urologists in the field wants everybody to work together. And so I thank you for letting me come here today, and I wanted to speak out as just one of the many volunteers that we see the AUA as our partner, and we look forward to working together with them in the future as we have for almost 50 years.
Thank you very much. Mr. Mason?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to make one kind of comment at the detail level about draft B, because with all due respect to the drafter or drafters, I think there's a point of legal analysis that I simply disagree with, and that bears on the relationship between the AACU and the AUA sections. And I think it's fair to characterize draft B as dismissing that as unimportant or even not properly before the commission. And I believe it is properly before the commission, and I believe it is important. The nature of the organizations is such that a lot of the work goes on at the section level, and a lot of the meetings are at the section level. And as to the PAC in particular, a lot of the solicitations have gone on at the section level, both when the joint agreement was in place and since then, as evidenced by the sections continuing to support EuroPAC with administrative funding. And so at sort of the practical level of how these organizations actually operate, I think it's an important factor. And in terms of the AUA, obviously I don't represent them, but I think it's fairly obvious that they have integrated membership. You have to be a membership of the AUA to be a member of the section. The sections are chartered by the AUA, and board members of the AUA are elected by the sections. And so those organizations are unquestionably affiliated for election law purposes. And if AACU is affiliated through either, as it were, either of the sides of that, I think they're properly affiliated for election law. And we tried to present both in the original submission and in the supplemental submission a fairly rich set of facts that that detail those ties. And so I think the commission should weigh that factor, and I think it weighs heavily in favor of affiliation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Ms. Malesky.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And thank you for welcoming us back for this divorce court redux. I can assure you that despite the warm and optimistic picture that was just painted of the relationship between AUA and AACU, in the intervening 2 weeks since our last meeting, there has not been a reconciliation of the parties, and AUA is still committed to its position on disaffiliation. We're very pleased to see the draft B that was issued yesterday in both matters. We believe these drafts reflect the right result and are the proper analysis in this matter. AACU, in its supplemental submission that it filed earlier this week, continues to rely heavily, and as we just heard from Mr. Mason, they rely heavily on this section analysis. The reason for this is obvious. They have very few relations at the national level anymore. The sections really are the only relationship that exists at all between AUA and AACU. Every decision that AUA has made regarding AACU at the national level in the past 3 years has been to pull away from and sever ties with AACU. Those decisions were made with the full support of the AUA board, and that includes the section leaders that are represented on the board. The AUA National Board is responsible for safeguarding the organization's interests, vetting its policies, and overseeing its operations. This charge cannot be overridden by a few sections that provide, I would say, minor financial support to EuroPAC. to Europac's administration. I don't know why they provided that financial support. It could have just been inertia. They've been doing it for several years and, continue to do it. They could have been personally requested to make those contributions, or it could have just been that there is no other alternative right now, as we have outlined in our submissions. The bottom line is that the will of the AUA board is to disaffiliate from AACU. That is clear and unequivocal. There was, as we said, the votes have been unanimous, including from the section representatives on AUA's board. And therefore, we respectfully request that the commission determine that AACU and AUA are no longer affiliated and adopt the B drafts in both matters. Thank you.
Thank you very much. At this point, do any commissioners have any questions? Commissioner Goodman.
Yes. I don't know who to direct this to, so whoever would like to respond. What administrative control or power does AUA have over the operation of the AACU Political Action Committee?
At this point, none.
None.
They have been the vice chair of the EuroPAC for many years.
Under the affiliation agreement?
Yes.
And that has lapsed?
That has lapsed, right.
And so when that lapsed, AUA has no further formal, or I take it informal, control or power of the administrative decisions of the AACU Political Action Committee?
No. In 2 years ago, the AUA came to us and said that because of the tax filing issue, we would like to step away from affiliation sponsoring the PAC. And we said we had 6 months of legal discussion and said, fine, that it's confusing. We'll just file the tax return ourselves and you can step off as sponsor. We maintained the AUA as the vice chair. They speak out at our meetings. The vice chair at the Joint Advocacy Committee conference let out just
one sec. Are you talking about the vice chair of the AACU or the vice chair of the AACU Political Action Committee?
Political Action Committee.
Okay.
Vice chair of EuroPAC.
And the AUA serves, or a representative of the AUA serves as the vice chair of the AACU Political Action Committee?
They did
under the affiliation agreement.
Yes, under the affiliation agreement, and up until this year, with this with these changes that are occurring, we're reevaluating our board structure, and so our goal, of course, is to keep the AUA deeply involved.
Okay.
But
today,
mm-hmm.
Who is the vice chair of the AACU Political Action Committee today?
The vice chair is Jonathan Henderson.
Does Jonathan Henderson serve as vice chair of the AACU PAC by virtue of an affiliation agreement with the AUA?
No.
Okay.
No, he's an AACU health policy member.
Okay. So Doctor, I understand historically that the AUA had a designated slot.
Yes.
As vice chair of the AACU Political Action Committee.
Correct.
But as a result of that lapsing, I'm trying to just understand, does the AUA have any continuing legal authority to direct the operations of the AACU Political Action Committee?
They do not.
Okay.
We are reevaluating our board structure.
If I might, Commissioner Goodman, to me, the part of this has seemed backwards all along. In other words, the ultimate issue for the commission to decide is whether the organizations are affiliated such that the PAC or PACs are treated as one for purposes of the contribution limits. So it seems to me that logically we can't look at the PAC operations to determine the conclusion as to whether the PACs are affiliated or not.
AUA doesn't have a PAC, so there's nothing to look at.
Oh.
You can also look at the two organizations as to whether they're affiliated, and that's what we're trying to say, that we want to be disaffiliated so that if the time comes that they want to start their own PAC, they won't be tethered to AACU's policy positions and strategic analysis. And also just the going back to the comment that was just made about the tax issue, it was more than a tax issue that led AUA 2 years ago to stop providing administrative support. That was an affirmative decision of the AUA board that they no longer wanted to be involved with the administration and support of EuroPAC. To describe it as a minor tax issue, I think is not accurate.
Well, they're two separate events. One occurred almost a year before the other, just to be clear. Separate events.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Goodman.
I am asking for your legal observations or your legal conclusions. If the commission were to conclude that you are disaffiliated, would the sections of the AUA be allowed to continue providing administrative funding to the AACU for purposes of administration of its segregated fund?
I don't believe so. I believe that they would be able to provide support if AUA...
Excuse me, what was that?
I don't believe that they would be able to continue to provide administrative support to AACU. They would be able to provide administrative support if AUA formed a PAC.
Okay. Chairman Mason?
I agree.
Okay.
That is one of the big challenges for EuroPAC. Mm-hmm. Because that funding, I understand council doesn't think $10,000 is very much or $40,000 in the aggregate, but for this PAC, that is a substantial amount of money. And five or six of the eight sections contributing are a substantial number of the sections.
That's true.
Any further questions, comments? Is there anything further any of you would like to add to this? If there's not, then I'll consider it before us for consideration. Oh, excuse me, Commissioner Goodman. Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've now been at the commission now for about 9 years, and before that I was in this field, and we've had a number of affiliation advisory opinions. Oftentimes they're, you know, a little bit mind-numbing and the analysis that you have to go through. But I've got to say that the posture of this one is unique in all the ones that we've considered up to this point. Typically, we either have two or more groups that want to affiliate and to increase the number of the restricted class so that they have a larger pool to draw from in terms of their fundraising activities. Or you have a mutual desire to disaffiliate, that the governing organization that might have necessitated an affiliation analysis before has changed, and now groups wish to go their own separate ways, and they want to confirm through an agency advisory opinion that they can disaffiliate, and that the agency's interest in preserving the integrity of the contribution limits is maintained. Here we have one group that is seeking a disaffiliation so that they can start up their own PAC. And the other party to that former agreement and that former union is seeking to keep them in. I mean, this really is kind of an argument. You know, we need to preserve this marriage to save the children. And I've never seen it kind of postured this way before, and obviously there are big picture, you know, policy related issues and about how the two organizations are going to move forward that frankly is beyond the jurisdiction and frankly the subject matter interest of the commission. Our interest in this case is maintaining the integrity of the contribution limits, that if a group wishes to disaffiliate, we look to see whether or not there is evidence. And when you look at the affiliation regulation, outside of some per se factors, once we get outside of those and we get into the 10 factors, it becomes a very, as we always say, it's a fact-intensive analysis. But at the end of the day, our eye is on the prize of, are the contribution limits going to be... is the integrity of the contribution limits going to be maintained, or is this going to be an example of double dipping, or organizations that are ostensibly that claim to be unrelated, are they really one organization? And if we give them two contribution limits, are they going to be, in essence, being able to double up? At this point, when I see, one organization basically saying we want out, and demonstrating concrete actions that have been taken to on a variety of different fronts, including to a desire to no longer provide administrative support to the PAC, to the Euro PAC. I'm struggling at this point to see where the desire to disaffiliate calls into question the integrity of that there would be a problem from the perspective of maintaining the integrity of the contribution limits. And if a group wants to get out of that relationship, and it otherwise doesn't appear, at least from an evidentiary perspective, from what I've seen before me, that is going to cause a problem or make it likely that now there's going to be a threat of the contribution limits being doubled up. I've just got to say, from my perspective, it's hard to say, no, you're going to have to stay affiliated because there's a desire on the side of one part, on one party or the other. So that's kind of where I am right now. And so I would invite whatever comments that any of you might have to modify my thinking or if I'm on the wrong track. But just looking at it from my perspective, this does provide a unique situation. It must be interesting to everybody. I'm assuming that everybody in this packed room has come here to because of their affiliation analysis. I have no other reason to think that they would be here. So I would invite any comment that you might have to either say that I'm on the right track or on the wrong track. But I just looking at it from my perspective, that's how I'm reading the situation right now.
I think you're on the right track, Commissioner Peterson.
Okay.
let me try to dissuade you, and I'll try to be brief. And the analogy to family court is an easy one to make, and I've made it myself, and I understand why commissioners look at it that way. But I think it's misleading in this case because, the question before you is a legal question about relationships between the organizations. And that was sort of my point, I think, in a little bit of an exchange with Commissioner Goodman, that the PAC itself is the derivative. It's the conclusion here. And if the relations between the organizations are such that they're affiliated for election law purposes, then if there are two PACs, the two PACs would be affiliated. Of course, AUA could start a PAC. And so I don't think the disputes over the administration of the PAC or the desire to have a separate PAC without common contribution limits really factor into the commission's affiliation analysis. Those are the conclusions of the commission's affiliation analysis. And obviously you have to come to your conclusions about that. But that's why I think we want a separate PAC or we want out of the PAC administration is kind of a distracting argument here. And you ought to look at other factors.
If I can just ask just a quick question, would it be your conclusion that if we were to adopt an advisory opinion that said that the two organizations may disaffiliate, would there be a threat to the integrity of the contribution limits? If AUA were to establish its own PAC? I mean, because again, that's where the commission. I mean, the commission doesn't have an interest in the organizational structure of organ. That's outside our purview. Our interest is in maintaining the integrity of the campaign finance system, and in particular, the contribution limits. Would there be a threat to that to those contribution limits if there were to be in a disaffiliation?
I think it's certainly predictable that the two organizations, because their policy interests are aligned, would be contributing to the same set of candidates. That's a projection because but I think that's likely.
As we outlined in our submission yesterday, the policy interests of AUA are far broader than AACU's fairly narrow policy interests. And so I don't think it is a foregone conclusion or even likely that the contributions would match each other, or that there, and there certainly would be no communication about it. To PACs would be entirely separate entities with their own separate boards, and that's what we're hoping we can achieve.
If I could just comment, Commissioner Peterson. Sure. We are members of the Public Policy Committee as the AACU, and contrary to what you've just heard, we at AACU, we have the same passion, we have the same mission, we have the same vision for public policy. We are urologists together. We operate together. We argue together. We eat together. We are the same. We fight together. We have for almost 50 years. Nothing has changed apart from some administrative issues that is a blip on the screen. This is not a disaffiliation. This is a team that's working together who has met some barriers and had some failings, and we need to continue to strive to work together. We are one. And I would ask the commission to recognize that we will be contributing to the same policy issues. The only reason we don't have 15 issues on our website is because we're a staff of three. We're all volunteers. We team up with the AUA and have to achieve the public policy goals that we have as urologists. We are all urologists together. We share these committees. We work on the boards. I don't really see the disaffiliation. I see us as two groups funding the same issues.
Commissioner Peterson.
I think.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I thought you were pointing at Commissioner Peterson.
No, he was pointing at me.
I got it.
You're very eloquent and heartfelt, Doctor, but you keep saying we are one, and they keep saying, no, we're not. So what are we to make of that?
Well, I think any family has arguments and disagreements. And I think if you look at the record, even up until today, we are still functioning as a family. We are still funding each other. We're still loyal to the AUA. We share our committees. We share our boards. The president of the AUA will be at our meeting. He's invited to our meeting coming up in the fall. We're participating in the new summit that the... sure, there are some issues, I suppose, in the past, but I think that given the chance, this disaffiliation will melt away. I really don't think this is a heartfelt issue amongst the urologists of America. I think this is a series of events that have occurred around the board table, and perhaps there's a desire for more control of the PAC. And perhaps there's a need for better cohesive work regarding the PAC. And that has prompted perhaps, this is all speculation, but perhaps it's prompted the board to want to get their arms around the PAC and not have to work as a team. It's always easier to be, looks easier when you're stepping out of a relationship that's been productive all these years. It looks easier to work the machine on your own. But we don't see it that way. We see us as a voice, and we see us as a very important part of the political scene. Although it's in the states perhaps more than the federal level, I think we've worked together well, and I think we'll continue to work together well. I think it's a transition, but it's not one for divorce. It's a transition to work together, try a little harder, to give and take. And I think that because of that, our contributions and support to the process will be healthier.
Millie Belinsky, do you have a comment?
That's a very optimistic, but I think unrealistic vision of the future. The AUA has consistently and unanimously voted on several occasions to take steps to move away from AUA. Those happened over time, and there's not an inclination on from AUA's board or from its membership to change that and to move in a direction that's, you know, that would be any different than the than what we are presenting here today.
I've got to just, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I just have to comment. The word unanimous has been repeated over and over and over. I've got to address this, mm-hmm. that when the word unanimous is used for the board's decisions, anyone associated with the AACU on the board at the time is asked to leave the room. They are not involved in any of the discussions regarding AACU issues, so they're recused. So the votes have not been unanimous. And if you're trying to move this in a certain direction, you simply ask those who are not involved in the AACU to stay in the room and those that are to step out of the room. And so our board member was recently, over the past 6 months, was asked to step out. Anytime these issues came up, he had no participation. And so it was not a unanimous vote. It was a unanimous vote of those remaining in the room.
He had no participation because he had a conflict of interest, and so that was why he was recused from them, which is at the center of this whole discussion and debate.
Okay. Mr. McWilliams, did you have a comment? Well, yeah.
No, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Mason? Ms. Belinsky, anything further? Anything further on the commission level? Excuse me, Madam Vice Chair.
I have a technical correction for the drafts that I'd like to, at the appropriate time. I don't want to cut off debate, but there was, I'd like to amend the document that's before us. In the cutting and pasting yesterday of the documents, and we inadvertently left one paragraph out of the draft for AACU. So my motion is just going to bring a paragraph from the AUA draft and move it into the AACU draft. And in addition to that, my motion will also move a footnote from one page to another. It doesn't alter the substance of the footnote. So if it's in order, may I make that motion?
Yeah, of course.
I move to amend agenda document 17-23B by inserting on page 21, line 7, the paragraph concurrently appearing on page 21, lines 1 through 6 of agenda document number 17-22B, and by moving current footnote 13 on page 17 of the draft to the end of line 7 on page 13 of the same draft.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? And the motion unanimously carries. Would you like to read this change in, before you finalize comments? No? Yes?
I don't think it's
necessary. Okay.
Paragraph.
Oh, okay. The answer is no further comment is necessary. Well, at this point, it's before us for consideration. What's the pleasure of the commission? I want to tell you this is very hard being in this position because, you know, there's always a tension to want to see people work it out, and then there's also people to respect it when they don't, and it's very hard to try and decide how to approach it and make it right. And so I've not been before we were trying very hard right before each, before us trying to figure out whether ultimately there could be a great marriage with a little bit of tiff in between or whether or not this is it. are there any thoughts on how to proceed? We have a couple of motions that are before us, but not acted on. Anybody want to make a motion and discuss where they want to go? Madam Vice Chair?
Mr. Chair, I'm happy to make a motion. We can discuss it if people would like. I move approval of agenda documents number 17-22B and agenda document 17-23B as amended.
Okay, comment by anybody on this? I just guess we're prepared to make the vote. All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? I will also vote in favor. difficulty. All right, it's unanimous, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much
for your
thank you
your efforts, and best of luck.
Mr. Chair, I move to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents so that the Commission may consider discussion of Commission's response to alleged foreign interference in American elections, agenda document number 17-28-A.
Thank you. Any comment? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. Ayes have it. We have before us the matter on discussion of Commission's response to alleged foreign interference in American elections. This has generated a lot of thought on the implications of some of the aspects of it. We've just handed a draft that just went blue about an hour ago that addresses a number of the issues that are involved. I'm going to hold the matter over until the next open session.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I just want to say that an earlier draft that was largely redundant of the blue document was circulated to the Commission earlier in the week. I understand the request has been made to hold it over, and I'm going to abide by it. I'm not going to get into the substance of it, but I think that this addresses very serious issues affecting our democracy, issues over which we have jurisdiction. And they're not going to go away, and I'll be back.
Thank you very much. Anything further? Any matter subject to, excuse me. Oh, and there's any matter subject to exemption?
There's no additional.
No additional matters. The meeting is adjourned.
Mr. Chairman, hey, we can be back.